is tie a few strands together that we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And the first one is this. We've been looking at what a family is like. We've been thinking about what St. Francis is, like the kind of big metaphor for St. Francis is it's like a family. And we saw what families on mission are like a week ago. And we saw how that doing what Jesus asks is easy when we do it the way he asks, which is together, as a family would do it. That's an easy yoke. And one of the things about families is that they tend to multiply. One of the natural things about families is that the children will one day or another leave and go start their own family. And then that'll happen again. And if there's a number of children, then each of them will do that. Even if there's no natural children, there is something still that multiplies about families. It's to keep moving on. And that we see that in the Old Testament with Nehemiah, had no children yet had a legacy, and that multiplied on. So that's a very important matter. And it is one of the ways that Jesus would have his church grow. It's part of his plan for that to really occur and occur with great fruit, you know, just a high yield, if you will. And then we see that in the parable today of the soils. And one of the things we need to remember about parables is that they are not ethical lessons. These are not stories that Jesus tells us so that we will, you know, do the right thing, you know, fly right, be ethical. Now, I'm not telling you to not be ethical. That's a little different matter. The purpose of the parables is not teaching us ethics. The purpose of the parables is to increase our faith. And when we read this with the aim, the goal of increasing our faith. However, this particular parable, as well as a couple of others, it's very easy to read this and start thinking, oh, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty hard, rocky soil. And, you know, if I only prayed more, if I only was a nicer person, if I only memorized scripture more, or whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Ethical, all ethical. Very easy to read this as an ethical smack up the side of the head. And it just isn't. Just isn't. In fact, this is not a parable about the soil. This is a parable about crop development. And that has a lot to do with us. Because, thank God, soils can change. A hard, rocky, sandy soil can become a very rich soil which produces a huge crop. They can change. And what Jesus is pointing out is how crops will develop in certain kinds of soils. And that's very, very important for us because there is now a direct link between the description Jesus gives of how to have a crop yielding 100-fold and how a church like St. Francis would grow and extend the kingdom into the community. This is a direct description of how that works. So what is that exactly? Well, you see the description here of the soils, and we have the sower. Notice he's not a farmer, but he's a sower. This is someone who is sowing, got the seeds, throwing them all over the place, and which is the natural way of doing things in that culture. And the seeds would go on all kinds of different soil. And it was fairly indiscriminate. And as we see, naturally, on the hard path that those seeds wouldn't take. And then the path was kind of rocky, a little better. When soil where there's a lot of weeds, a little better yet. And soil which is really good, excellent, excellent. So the yield of the crop increases with the soil. Now, the idea that we get, which is an accurate idea, is that you throw all the seeds and a whole lot of seeds go on hard soil. And then a few less seeds go on the rocky soil. And then a few less seeds go on the soil with weeds. And then a few less seeds on the soil that is really good. but the highest yield of the crop is from the fewer amount of seeds. The hundredfold yield comes from the smallest area and the smallest number of seeds. And you would know that just, you know, by observing. One oak tree has like billions of oak trees in it and all this, and all the seeds that are in different fruit. That's the way that it happens. Now for us, the direct link is this. We engage people in the area, and our Christian faith shines and all this. And we will engage a group or a neighborhood or whatever it may be. And that will be a lot of people. And then we begin in some way to serve them. And there'll be less people that respond to that. And then out of that group, we begin to maybe gather them at another time for something. Pork barbecue or whatever it may be. And then it'll be less people. And then at some point down that road, we begin to share the faith with them, invite them into the family of God. That'll be less people. But that group, the smallest group, will have the highest yield for the kingdom. That will be the hundredfold that happens. And that's the exact link. That's exactly what Jesus is describing, how the kingdom works. What it takes for us each step of the way is faith. You expect that God will be doing something when you engage everybody. And then you expect that God will be doing something when you start serving them, and he's doing something that is being shared with you, with the smaller group that's being served. And then he's doing something with you, with the smaller group that's being gathered. And then he's doing something along with you, with the smaller group that actually comes into the kingdom when you invite them. And that's how it works. And that group then multiplies like a crop. And that takes faith. Faith of just leaning on Jesus. See, you can't ethically get yourself into the position where that kind of crop is produced. It takes the presence of the Spirit, you leaning on the Spirit and following wherever the Spirit of God leads you, so that that crop yields a hundredfold as he has in his mind. And you are one of the ones who's going along with God to do that. That's how that works. That is a very different situation than most of what you see in the church. If it sounds critical, please forgive me. I don't mean to be critical. I just mean to make an observation. A lot of churches will say, you know, we get the right pastor, and that pastor will see an increase weekly in attendance from what that pastor does. The way they preach, the way they deal with people, the way they set up this, that, or the other thing, and the way they run the programs. What that is the first strategy. That is sowing the seed, that is casting it as far as possible on any ground, and a lot of it will fall on hard ground. And something has to happen after that in which those out of that group and the hard ground are served, and those out of that group are gathered, and those out of that group are invited into the kingdom. See, there's a few steps after that happens. Another way that this goes on is a lot of churches will plan to send out a mass mailing. And you send it out, and that's the seed all over the place. And very few people will, in fact, respond to that. Maybe a few will, but very few people. And I have spent, not here, of course, but other places, up to $5,000 to send out a relatively small number of mailings to have one person call me up and say, please take me off of that list. which about is about an average yield for that sort of a thing. But you get the point. And what we do is we think we do that, and it's that first level strategy. And we think a lot of people will see the mail and they'll think, "Wow, at last!" And they'll show up and become permanent members of the church. And what has to happen is that we need to go along that path where we've engaged them even by mailing, and then some of them we start to serve, and some of them we start to gather, and some of them we invite in. And remember, even though it's a smaller group we've invited into the kingdom, that yields 100-fold. That will multiply, not just add. That will increase and spread the kingdom throughout the community in a way that just the first level activities do not. Now, one of the items about that is to keep remembering that the way of Jesus of doing that is an easy yoke. It's not a heavy burden. It's an easy one. And that means that we would do that together. There'd be a group together that goes down that path of all those soils, seeing the soils that are responsive. And we've seen a couple of examples already. You recall last week we shared about Evelyn and Marion and a few others right over there in that just excellent Mannequin Road neighborhood over there, inviting a new person in. A new person who's happened to be having the baby shower. Now, if we were to apply this hypothetically to that situation, what would happen is that person was welcomed. So that's the first level. There is a welcoming. And then they were served. That's the second one. And that's the baby shower. The next one that may happen, you know, if God opens the door and so forth, is that another gathering. Some of those people who were there for that and maybe some others would start to gather. And maybe regularly because it's fun. I mean, it's Evelyn and Marion. How could it not be fun? So they get together, you know, and then a little bit down the road, some of them are invited into the kingdom. And the ones who are invited into the kingdom are so ready and so able and so responsive that they've come to a level of faith which is begun to become mature. And they are, in fact, ready to start multiplying a little more, like any crop would be ready. That were the we bring in the harvest, and you take the seed from the harvest, and immediately plant it. The other example that we used is a prayer walking Richards neighborhood over here, and a few of us were there. Patty, of course, lives over there, and a few others of us were there. Another absolutely fun place to be, with that group of people, and there we were. We were just listening to God, and then we began engaging people when there was a prayer walk in memory of one of the neighbors in honor of his life. And a whole large group started prayer walking that area that day. And then, oh yeah, Bill was there that day too. Yeah, that's right. It was excellent. And then, and so was Larry and Susan. Yeah, that's right. Well, nonetheless, there we are. We're walking around, and that had gathered. A few of us have been at some of the normal cycle of gatherings that go in there, the parties, whatever they have. It's just a nice event. And so we begin serving them that way. The next step, if God opens that up, the next step in faith would be we begin gathering in another way, somehow. Some of them who've maybe engaged with us about the church start gathering, say, "You guys are with the church. You're kind of a weird group, but I like you." So you know, they get together or whatever. And then at some point after that, some of them are invited into the kingdom. And just like anywhere else, that group invited into the kingdom will be a 100-fold harvest, ready to do more, ready to multiply. Very, very different than one-on-one mailings and so forth, which I'm not against. I don't mean to complain about any of that, but that's just the level one way of doing that. It's like the seed on the hard ground, and we can't expect a crop from seed on that kind of ground We expect the crop from the seed on the rich ground. Do you see how that works? Now, the way that that is approached, the way that Jesus is talking about, where, remember, he was in a family called the Trinity, sent into a family, and he began then forming another family as a single man in a culture that single men didn't make families. He made a family, sometimes called the 12 apostles. And then there were 72, just following him around. And he sent them to do the same thing. We would gather into families. Maybe St. Francis is not all one big family, but there may be several families among us. And each family has a mission, a focus, a desire, somebody they want to serve, a neighborhood, or whatever it may be. And not each family among us would have the same mission. But he should operate in a similar way, which is to develop the three great loves that a family would have. And that first one is the love of God, worshiping God, that up dimension, where that family begins worshiping together some way, somehow, and that deepens the connection with God, which deepens the faith, which enables you to move along those levels. You expect God to bring that harvest of 100-fold. You have faith that that will happen. Which is a little different than the dart game of level 1. Throw it and hope it hits. You know it's going to hit because you've seen it by faith and you've taken that step. The second great love is each other within the family, where you encourage each other, build each other up, help each other succeed. You know that you each share the same focus, the same desire to reach the same kind of person. So you, because you have a great love for that fellowship, not only want to succeed there, you want everybody around you to be at least as successful as you in that. And then the third great love is out, the people you actually want to see come to know Jesus and enter into the kingdom. Your love for them would overcome any obstacle, any cynicism, anything that would block them from coming to Jesus, that becomes a non-issue almost, because you've developed the other loves and you've got that faith growing and you are looking for that rich soil that has 100-fold return. And if some of them in the group that you're reaching don't have that, you know that soil can change. And that if you engage with them at the first level, something happened. Something happened to them. And it may be down the road that they become the rich soil ready to come in. But something happened. Just like a seed that falls into the crevice of a boulder and then breaks that boulder over a year's time as a tree starts coming out of it. That's how this works. That's how this, if you don't mind my saying, that's how this runs. It's very, very different than a lot of other ways. It doesn't cost money. You don't have to hire professional staff to have the focus of your heart be on a group that you want to see come to know Jesus. You don't need all that kind of stuff. You just need a heart running after him and those who are with you running after the same thing. Going together, worshiping God, holding each other up, and reaching out together. That's a family on mission. That just keeps going, keeps at it, and then maybe even multiplies. All right. There's some doors opening with that. Just some powerful doors. There's doors I don't even see opening with that. Some of it's happening within your imagination right now, which is your faith. And that's something that may produce that 100-fold yield later. Maybe sooner, which would also be great. But you can begin, some of you can begin to see it. Some of you probably are thinking of people right now in your life who are the rich soil, who may be ready to be invited in, or who may be ready to be gathered, just to be together. And the next step would be to invite them into the kingdom. All of that is going on. The question for you and I today is this. What is God telling you about that harvest? About that lifestyle? About that yoke of Jesus that's easy? About the condition of the soil? And what's He asking you to do about it? When you take those steps, then the harvest is brought in. And somebody doesn't come with a plow and plow it over. It's brought in. That's what we want. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You're doing. We ask that You lead us further and further and further into the direction You have chosen. We ask that the focus You desire for our hearts would shine brightly, that You would gather us into the families on mission that You desire, and You would enable us to see a harvest of 100-fold and some 60 and some 30 for the glory of Your name. Amen.